Our scripture reading this morning comes once again from the Gospel of John. We find ourselves in the middle of the farewell discourse, where Jesus is telling his disciples that he is going to die, and he's preparing them to remain strong in the trials that are to come. Hear God's word for us today. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. But anyone who does not love me or obey me, my teachings, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I would imagine every once in a while the disciples got extremely frustrated with Jesus. Can you imagine how irritating it would be to hear Jesus say, "Have peace," in the middle of what the disciples are going through right now? Here they are on the eve of the crucifixion. Their beloved leader and friend is about to die. The Roman government is out to get them. And here the disciples are hiding in an upper room, fearful for their lives, knowing that Jesus will not be with them long. But Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Have peace. Don't be troubled. It'll all be okay." Come on. Really, Jesus? You're telling us not to worry about all the things that are going on right now? Maybe that's just me and my 21st century perspective. When I look around this world, there's so much to be worried about. And when Jesus says to have peace, all I can think of is, are you kidding me? Take a look around. Earthquakes and fires, wars and famines, politics. Everywhere you look, there's something to be worried about. In our home, in our churches, in our world, so much to be fearful of. And yet Jesus says, don't be troubled. It's what makes Christ's promise of peace so hard to believe. Because peace is what we seem to be missing as a people. And peace is what our hearts long for. The world defines peace in a very particular way. Peace is the absence of something bad. When you have peace, you're not fighting, you're not in turmoil, you're not fearful. Peace is the cessation of evil. But is that really enough? Is it okay that peace is just the absence of something bad, and does that sustain us? I think of our money worries, and, you know, if we have enough money for today, does that give us peace? Well, no, because who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Or when our hearts are filled with worry, can we ever have enough peace? I think Jesus is talking about something deeper, something more meaningful from that. I think he's saying that peace isn't just being freed for something bad, but it's welcoming something good. What if the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about is a thing all on its own, something life-giving and fulfilling, something that brings us joy and harmony? That's the intent behind the Old Testament word shalom. Peace. It's the idea that we're not only freed from pain and suffering, but we're also made whole again. In this concept of shalom, we have this idea of being made right, not just with God, but with those around us. And it's a fulfillment of God's promise to us, to love us, and to be our God, to make us his people, and to take care of us. To fulfill his covenant with us, that special bond we have with God. And with shalom, in being in a right relationship with God, we experience closeness and intimacy with him like we don't anywhere else in this world. And when we have this peace, it's because we trust God, we depend on Him, we believe that He will do right by us. Embodied in Jesus' concept of peace is a life-giving, restorative relationship with God. So when Jesus speaks of peace here, it's not just getting away from conflict or getting away from fear, but it's being invoked in God's love and protection and joy. This is the kind of peace that Jesus offers us to us today. Peace that even in the midst of persecution and fear, where your life is at stake, that we can still trust and rely on Him. It's not contingent on what the world brings. It's unrelated to the ups and downs of life. And it's completely and utterly reliance on God, believing that He knows what He's doing and He'll take care of us and provide for us and guide us. The kind of peace that Jesus is offering us today is the peace that walks on water, that stills our storms, that fills our lives to the brim with the finest of wines. The kind of peace that Jesus offers is the kind of peace that gives sight to the blind and healing to the deaf and tells the lame to get up and walk again. This is what Jesus offers us today. And I believe this is what our souls long for. It's available to all of us, but we don't get it the way that we often think we get peace. Jesus tells us that if we want to experience the kind of peace that He offers, that we must follow Him. Remember His words from this morning, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings." And it is through our obedience that our hearts are freed from worry, and we find our rest in Him. You see, heaven and earth not only have different definitions of peace, they also have different plans on getting there. When we think of peace in the world's eyes, we think of working hard and doing more and earning our own security. So we work and we try and we suffer, but we don't get anywhere. But God says if we want to know the kind of peace that He has for us, that we must live life the way He tells us to live and to trust Him. And that in trusting Him, we find this shalom. If you don't believe me, consider this. Think of how a sports team works, how they interact with their coach, and the role a coach has in shaping and directing the team together. I played water polo when I was in high school, and I know water polo is not big here, but it's a lot like soccer, but in a pool. You have goals, you have goalies, you have offense and defense, and you got a ball, and you're trying to get the ball down the court to the other side to score. And when I first started playing water polo, it was the first year that my high school ever had a women's water polo team, so none of us knew what we were doing. So much like five-year-olds playing soccer for the first time, there was this mass of us kind of following the ball around in the pool, chasing it around. You know, you see kids playing soccer, and there's just like this group of kids all on the ball, and then like one kid sitting in the back playing. That was us. And it didn't work. You can't do anything with eight people globbed onto this ball trying to get it away from one another. So our coach would try to teach us what to do, and it made no sense. He'd say, you need to spread out. You need to go to opposite ends of the pool. You need to get some distance. And as a first-time player, it doesn't make sense. That's not how you play. If you want the ball, you should go to the ball, not go away from the ball. But eventually, we started to listen to our coach, and we'd spread out, and lo and behold, the ball's over here, and there's 10 people, and there's one guy over here, and they throw the ball to you, and there's nobody else there, and you score a goal, and it feels great. You start listening to your coach and trusting your coach. Or my coach used to make us do drills, lots and lots of drills. And one of the worst ones was swimming with the ball, which is so much harder than just regular swimming. And we'd do this for hours on end every day. And it was exhausting, and it was all I could do to like drag myself out of the pool and our pool was at the bottom of the hill, so then you had to like walk up the hill to go home. It was awful. But then one day, we'd be playing in the game, and somebody would throw the ball to you, and you could just swim, and it was so easy because the coach had been working us so hard. And slowly but surely, we started to get better, and we started to know what we were doing, and we started to score goals, and we started to have fun. But it was only because we trusted in our coach and did what he said. If it had been left up to me, I would have practiced by sleeping next to the pool and, you know, I would have sat on the ball a little more. You're not allowed to do that in water polo. You know, just things that made sense to me didn't make sense to my coach. But it was by doing what the coach said that I was able to succeed and really have fun playing water polo together. I think it's the same with life, though. I think the world tells us we're supposed to live a certain way, and we run around in circles and really don't get anywhere. But if we want to experience the kind of peace that God offers, the kind of joy and the kind of satisfaction that only God can provide for us, then we need to play by God's rules, do what our teacher tells us to do. You know, I think the world tells us when we're worried about money that we should get a better job or we should work harder, we should buy more things, that we should consume and produce. But that doesn't give me any peace or security because there's always something else that could go wrong or something else that I want or need. You know, always one step away from a major emergency. Or when I worry about my family, or when you guys might worry about your families, we think that we have to do more and provide more opportunities and be busier and sign our kids up for more things. But that doesn't give us peace and security. That just leaves us worn out. And when we as a people and as a country worry about our freedom and our liberty, and we want peace for this world, instead of sharing our ideas and seeking a compromise, we buy bigger guns and we threaten and we use violence to seek after peace. But so far that hasn't worked for any of us. None of these things that the world tells us to do gives us peace. They leave us feeling hollow and empty and wanting more. But the contentment and the security that our hearts long for only can come from God. And if we want this kind of shalom in our lives, this wholeness and well-being with other people and with God, we need to play by God's rules. We need to obey his commands. So if today you find yourself anxious, hear the wise words of Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you're worried about finances, remember Christ's teachings to trust him. Look at the birds in the air, Jesus says. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not that much more valuable than they are? And if today you find yourself exhausted and worn out, hear Jesus' command to come. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For your yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God plays by different rules, but he offers a reward so much greater than this world can offer. And if we want to experience his joy and his satisfaction and that deep down abiding peace, we must do what God tells us to do. And the good news is that we don't have to do it alone. Jesus tells us that God sends his very own Spirit to be with us, to strengthen us, to teach and to guide us, just as a coach might do. Through God, through Jesus' teaching, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can experience this peace in our lives if only we seek to live in obedience to him. So this morning, let me ask, where in your life right now do you need to experience God's peace? What invitation to faith and to obedience might God have for you today? And are you ready to follow God and be swept up in the adventure of it all? Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you love us so well. God, that you know the longings of our hearts, and you have provided a way for us to experience the deep abiding joy and love and hope and peace that only you can provide. Help us to trust in you, to believe in your promises, and to follow your word through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.